Good morning, Marsha. Krishna Katha. Thank you for tuning in. Krishna Katha is going on perpetually, and it's within our judgment, within our decision to make an effort and get here. Thank you so much. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 10, text number 9. Raja Rahugana meets Jagabharata. So repeat after me. Brahmana Vacha,
Brahmana Vacha,
the learned Brahmana,
the learned Brahmana,
Jadabharata,
Jadabharata,
spoke,
Vaya,
Vaya,
by you,
Uditam,
explained,
Vyaktam,
very clearly,
Aviprabham,
Without contradictions.
Bartu. Of the bearer, the body. Saha.
That.
Man.
Mine.
Syat.
It would have been.
Yadi.
If.
Deva.
Deva.
O great hero, Maharaj Rahugana.
Bara,
alone.
Gantu,
of the mover,
also the body.
Yadi,
if.
Syat,
it had been.
Adigamayam, the object to be attained. Adva,
the
path.
Piva,
very stout and strong.
Iti,
thus.
Rasho,
in the body.
Na, not.
Vidam,
of the self-realized person.
Ravada,
Subject matter for discussion.
Brahmana Uvacha, Tadiyatam, Vyaktam, Aviprabhadham.
Ayoditam, Vyaktam,
Aviprabhadham. Bartu Samesya Yadivirabhara. Kanturiyadisyad. Adhigamyam Adva. Pileti Rasunavidam Prabhada. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The great Brahmana Jatabharata said, "My dear king and hero, whatever you have spoken sarcastically is certainly true. Actually, these are not simply words of chastisement, for the body is the carrier. The load carried by the body does not belong to me, for I am the spirit soul. There is no contradiction in your statements, because I am different from the body. I am not the carrier of the palanquin. The body is the carrier. Certainly, as you have hinted, I have not labored carrying the palanquin, for I am detached from the body. You have said that I am not stout and strong, and these words are befitting a person who does not know the distinction between the body and the soul. The body may not be fat or may be fat or thin, but no learned man would say such things of the spirit soul. As far as the spirit soul is concerned, I am neither fat nor skinny. Therefore, you are correct when you say that I am not very stout. Also, if the object of this journey and the path leading there were mine, there would be many troubles for me. But because they are they relate not to me, but to my body. There is no trouble at all. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that one who is advanced in spiritual knowledge is not disturbed by the pains and pleasures of the material body. The material body is completely separate from the spirit soul, and the pains and pleasures of the body are superfluous. It means excessive. I looked it up. The practice of austerity and penance is meant for understanding the distinction between the body and the soul, and how the soul can be unaffected by the pleasures and pains of the body. Jatabharata was actually situated on the platform of self-realization. He was completely removed from the bodily conception. Therefore, he immediately took this position and convinced the king that whatever contradictory things the king had said about his body did not actually apply to him as a spirit soul. What a great verse and purport. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Kinanjalam Shalakaya Chakshur Nimitamira Tasmai Shri Gurumeva Panchakalpatarupishcha Vipassindu Vipayacha Patitanam Pavanipyo Shashnavipyo Namo Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinaru Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Ashtatya Adishakani Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudi Gauravati Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I am embarrassed to speak in the assembly of such advanced souls, especially the Pusha Prabhu. So as soon as I start talking nonsense, please correct me immediately. I'm also not dressed properly. I actually grabbed a dhoti, but then I found out it was a chadar. I couldn't put it on. Please forgive me. So, this is a great verse today. This is the first time that Jatabharata speaks, opens his mouth, because he's described as someone who is deaf and mute. And he had never spoken a word up until this point. And we can understand the weight and the gravity of what he has to say. It must be something really important that he decided to speak up. And he speaks not to an ordinary person, he speaks to a king. Because perhaps my understanding is that he understood that if he effectively preaches to the king, then the rest of the population will follow. So you don't preach to anyone and everyone. You try to discriminate and try to do it effectively. And if you preach nicely to such a great personality, then many others will follow. It's a very effective preaching on Jatabharata's side. And what he's saying is that all what you said is true. You said to the king, all the nonsense, in other words, all the nonsense you said is actually true. Mm-hmm. And there is no contradictions in your statements. And then he goes on to say that the soul has nothing to do with the body. And he I said that, yes, you're right, I'm not very stout, because I'm not the body. Because this body who's carrying the belt will not carry it accurately. It's not me. And this is a very basic point, that we're not the body. Srila Prabhupada would always bring this point up in public engagements or classes amongst the devotees. He would always say that, emphasize repeatedly, we're not the body, we're not the body. Because this is the understanding that's kind of lays the ground for the rest of the philosophy. For the rest of the high philosophy that we've had privilege to be part of. So this is how we can preach also. We shouldn't, when we deal with common people, with the devotees who are not aware that they are devotees, who are under a different mode. So this is something we should start with. I mean, I find it's very easy and very effective way to get through to the person by explaining to him that there is a difference between the body and the soul. You are the soul in the body. But Srimad Bhagavatam puts it out in a more bluntly. It says the soul has nothing to do. It doesn't say that, yeah, this is a soul inside the body and you should consider the body, etc. Srimad Bhagavatam Jagbarat speaks very bluntly. He said, the soul has absolutely nothing to do, it's detached from the body. Of course, it's not that we should disregard her. Bodily needs, we should take care of this body nicely to keep the soul and body together. But ultimately, we should understand that this is not us. However dear this body can be to us, it's not us. So we should take care of the body, and we should, it's our duty actually to live a balanced life, because we're in a society right now, and if we live a life, if we kind of put ourselves outside the society and completely disregard the norms and regulations that are pertinent to this age, then society will not respect us and will not take anything we have to say, which will be, you know, a waste of time, which will be simply stupid. We are obliged to be successful. We should get dressed nicely. We should maintain ourselves in an efficient way so that other people can see and have respect. Otherwise, there will be no respect. So we know that we have nothing to do with this body, with this society, but we are a preaching movement. So it's our duty. We should not neglect our body. We shouldn't neglect our social life. We shouldn't be overly concerned about it, but we shouldn't neglect it either. Adipusha who has this story how he was trying to distribute a book to someone on the stadium. 200,000 people were there, and he was going one after another stadium, offering them to engage their resources that would have otherwise be spent on beer or some other stuff, engaged in Krishna's service, in the service of God. And he approached one man, and this man challenged him, are you a Catholic? And he said, yes, of course. That's what we say. Because we're not sectarian.
It was a bowl football game with Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I had just approached everyone in that section, including a couple of nuns, and they also gave nuns also gave donations, you know. And then at that point there was a timeout. So this was totally quiet, there's nothing to distract anybody. And this man said out loud, are you Catholic? And he said, of course. You know, said, okay, if you tell me the name of the cook, I'll give you a donation. And like, everybody in the whole section looked at me because they had all given donations, including the nuns, you know. And I was like, yeah. At that point, I hadn't read the newspaper in years, and, you know, I was like, yeah, the name of the Pope. He's Polish. You don't know the name of the Pope and you're Catholic. And I was like, I'll be right back, you know. Before this, it was a riot, you know.
And he said,
in order to be good, I'll be a little bit familiar with what's going
on. Yeah, we have to be a little bit familiar with what's going on. A little bit familiar, yeah, that's the... And you also said that you didn't know the name of the president at that time?
No, that was another situation. My brother called me every day, and I've been there for 4 years. Like, there was like one telephone on the whole farm. You know, he said, do you know who the president of the United States is? I said, you know, let's see, I heard he was a peanut farmer or something, you know? You don't even know what's going on, you know? So their understanding of you is like, you must be some kind of brainwashed idiot, you know?
Yeah, brainwashed idiot.
Yeah.
We can be labeled like that if we, you know, let it loose. It should be a little bit.
It's for, just for the sake of being able to.
Yeah, just for the preaching purposes. That's called Yukta Vairagya. We're not just renouncing anything and everything. We engage in devotional service, and all this rubbish that's happening out there can be used. It's the way to build a bridge to the person's heart. And this is also how Krishna speaks to us. How do you know if Krishna is not, you know, maybe Krishna is speaking to you through you know, something sort of similar, you know. Krishna is working in everyone's life every second, in every way. So we shouldn't neglect that. There's nothing wrong. As long as we're prepared, as long as we have our rounds down, as long as we have our sadhana in place, our association, we can confront it. But we have to be strong enough. Of course, we don't want to expose ourselves unnecessarily to some gross stuff, but the rest can be handled if we're healthy. It's called Yukta Vairagya, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, he was, he kind of perfected that principle. He would wear leather shoes sometimes. He would, you know, ride cars in India at that time. And he gained respect. People took him. And once he established his respect from others, he was able to preach. So one point that I wanted to mention is that once true, so see, this is the situation when Jagabard is a Vaishnava. He's being provoked. He's being offended. And this is the way, this is how he responds. He's not fighting back, even though the words that King Varuna said were harsh. Jatavardhan is not fighting back. We don't see him taking offense. We don't see him fighting back because he's a Vaishnava. And our true nature gets revealed when we are provoked. It's kind of easy to be a nice Vaishnava, respectful, when everything is okay. But then something happens, there you go. That's who you really are. And that's how we should judge ourselves, not others, ourselves. We oftentimes will think, am I making any advancement at all? It's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years that I'm around, but have I really changed? Or am I still the same? And when everything is all right, then we can judge ourselves positively. Okay, yes, I'm peaceful, I think of Krishna, I chant my rounds, I do service. I have nice relationships with everyone in the community. But then, this is not when you check yourself. Check yourself when something happens, when you get provoked. It can be either the situation when some kind of, I don't know, maybe a bill, you get a bill in the mail, a big bill, so check your thoughts. Or someone says something to you, check what's on your mind. And this is the indicator. This is how you know. This is where you really are at. Like in the army when they do race, when they run, so they always get measured by the person who comes in last. So that's the senatorial battalion, whatever, the division gets the score of the last person. So in the same way we should judge ourselves in such a way that we give ourselves a score based on the situations when we are provoked, when something negative, something challenging happens. And Jagabharata Prabhu is being provoked, and he speaks out the truth. He takes to the truth. Okay, this is a provocation, challenge going on. And he immediately comes up with his point about the body. It's not relevant, it's irrelevant. If it was relevant, that it would have been much trouble to me, that he says. But since I'm not the body, there is no trouble at all, he says. There is no trouble at all. And actually, in this age, Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, you don't have to wait for too long until you get provoked and challenged. Just wait, and it will come. In the previous yugas, they prayed for calamities to come so that they could remember Krishna. But in this day and age, you don't have to ask me that. We're all on Kunti's kind of level, unwillingly. Troubles will come no matter what. And this is the glory of this age, that we can't possibly get comfortable here. There is no situation we can find ourselves in that we are not disturbed, that we're not being provoked. Kali Yuga ki. There's absolutely no way. Just give up your hope, relax, be happy, and go on with your sadhana, with your service. Because this is Kali Yuga. There is no hope for you for material happiness. Just give it up peacefully.
No way.
No, it's not.
That's
right. Just give it up, relax, it's Kali Yuga.
Oh, man.
There is no chance. You don't have a fighting chance.
I had a plan, man.
You can't settle down. You can't. And this is how Krishna reminds us about him. With every troublesome situation, with every calamity, with every weird person who speaks harshly on food distribution, this is how Krishna shakes us up, brings us back to our senses. So the Kali Yuga is a glorious age. There's no way you can forget Krishna. If you got attracted to Krishna, just wait. It's just a matter of time until you surrender your life nicely and properly to Krishna and become happy. We may lose some battles against Maya, but the war, you shouldn't have any doubt that you'll win the war. Don't be discouraged. Just keep on fighting. I have a very interesting example. I've always had this hope that at some point, if I change something, just one last change, just one last adjustment in my life, and then I'll become happy. And then I'll be able to have nice sadhana, chant nice rounds, read. Let me just sort it out a little bit more, my life. Yeah, it's just so funny. I was thinking, when we first started this new operation in Ninth Avenue, I was thinking, okay, if first month, you know, it's going to be rough. But once we just get started, it's going to get better, easier. We didn't have to pay any rent. It was kind of, but we had other difficulties we had to deal with. Just, you know, setting up a new operation is a challenging task. And I was grateful. I was thinking, okay, Krishna, by your grace, let this happen. And then I was secretly hoping that at one point it'll get better and I can take my eyes off and, you know, start enjoying finally the fruit. But then March, some other challenges. We started to, you know, pay rent. We had to come up with money. Then summer, we had a lot of people coming, but then we had overbooking.
Oh.
And I found that I was spending most of my time dealing with overbookings. And then our rent went higher. I was becoming desperate. Oh, Krishna, when is this, you know, going to go on its own? And now, it's a slow time of year. We don't have much people. We're half empty. We still have to come up with the rent. And I'm still saying to myself, Anandabihari, just wait.
Don't worry.
It's December, January, February. Just persevere. Just wait a little bit more. December, January, and February. And then March comes.
March
will be
there.
It's just ridiculous how this mind works. How it's always hopeful. You're so stupid.
Yeah.
And it's so wonderful how no matter what happens, no matter how tough Maya gets on you, you're still hopeful. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised. So, but at the same time, to give up on material happiness, it's such a relief. Such a relief. If you follow Dharma, it's a relief. One time, I can't remember, someone, very advanced Vaishnava, he was asked, he had a question from the audience, saying that, if I follow the four regulative principles, how do I deal with the difficulties that come up on the way? And I said, what are you talking about? If you follow the four regulative principles, there should be no difficulties. If you follow them properly. So if we follow the Dharma, it's not that it's difficult and we have to struggle. If we give up on Maya and by Krishna's grace, sincerely try to follow the four regulative principles, do nice sadhana, there should be no difficulties. Difficulties is when you have hope in the world out there. That's when the difficulties come. And same thing applies to japa. It's only difficult to chant japa when you're not being attentive. If you're not attentive, it's very difficult to chant japa. If you are attentive, it's very easy. They do this Govardhan retreat every November, December in Govardhan. My spiritual master, Sachinak Swami Maharaj, he says that, and they chant 64 rounds every day or something, and then he said, it's only possible to chant 64 rounds a day if you're attentive. Kind of very interesting point. Not only you have to chant 64 rounds, it's only possible if you're attentive, if you've done this attentively. Any questions so far? Angles of visions, just asking.
Well, what's really interesting is Maharaj Bhugan, to his credit, he recognizes, wow, wait a minute, this person is seeing things entirely different than the way I'm seeing. Matter of fact, he's a guy with some spiritual wisdom, you know. Yeah. And immediately after he hears just a little bit, he wants to hear more. He goes, well, wait a minute. Not an ordinary soul. So, you know, Jadavar is like a submarine, sneaks up on the conditions of Krishna's arrangement. And then at one point he pops up and reveals himself who he is. And Marvin was like, oh my God, this is like, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. Because the people are actually starving. They're drowning in their own minds. And they're starving for, oh, it's so refreshing to hear the truth in a world full of garbage and nonsense and half-truths and outright lies and phony people and, you know, people that are confused and, you know. And then, even if you speak the truth, to be able to speak it nicely is a whole other thing. Because they pick up on whether you're condescending and arrogant or whether or not you actually care about. One time we were in Washington, D.C., and there's a huge arena there. It was a basketball game, and we were working, the cars coming in. And there's this one parking lot that's, you have to go across a little creek, and then there's this huge lot, and people, the cars are coming in like a choo-choo-choo-choo. And it's like, I was in the darkest corner of the lot, and these four guys came in and went in the car, and they had the, what do you call it?
Tinted
windows, you know. And the driver's window was open, and I came up to the window. And at that point, they're all taking their guns out. Putting them in the glove compartment. And, you know, all right, guns out. The guy said, okay, guns out, you know. Because they were going in, they weren't going to bring their guns in, you know. And these guys were, I mean, they were out like, the aura was like dark. They were like really, really thug. I mean, you really, you know, scary just to look at them, you know. They were like subhuman, you know. And I came up to the window, and they all went, like that, and looked at me. And I said, what do you want? I said, we're supposed to pass these out to all the ugly guys. I know how Christian brought that out, you know, ugly guys, you know. And, but I said it, you know, they could see, like, this guy doesn't hate us or, you know, isn't challenging us. He's funny, and he likes us, and he's not afraid of us, you know. And they all get donations, but, I mean, just that coming out of the mouth, I was actually afraid that when I heard it coming out. What did you make me say that, you know? We're supposed to pass that to all the ugly guys. They all had, like, black bodies, you know. They were all, like, you know, really, really moated out, thug-like personalities, you know. And the guns, you know, and the shift from the point where they said, what do you want? You know, I was afraid they were just going to come out and beat me up just because that's what they do, you know. It was like really like scary. And then just like that, not just what I said, you know, but the fact that I was able to say it in a rather, you know, lighthearted way, fearlessly, without envy. Envy, that's the thing. If the people pick up that you're envious of them, or proud, or think that you're better than them, if there's any fear. We were just reading it last month about that. You can't be a devotee. You can't be fearless unless your heart is full of compassion. You know, realization comes like that. But they recognize. The point is, Maharaj Prabhu is going to recognize this isn't an ordinary person of this world. Right? That's the coolest thing about this story. Right. The woman is thinking is like, there's a suffering man. Come to the earth, and then the next one, he jumps off the balcony and offers obeisances to pull the answer. Please instruct me. Right? He recognizes this person is speaking the truth, and he's speaking it in such a kindly way. He's not intimidated by my arrogant words to him. So, you know, when people meet you guys on Saturday, Sunday, just think, it's a Vishnu Buddha. Right?
And as devotees, we should be able to recognize Krishna's hand behind every harsh word that's coming from the, you know, common people's mouth. So it's vice versa. A common person should be able to recognize Krishna in the words of the Vaishnava. Krishna, in the same way, the Vaishnava should be able to recognize that Krishna is not this person who is trying to offend me, or neglect me, or disregard me, push me around. It's Krishna trying to work on me. And if you have this understanding, and this understanding is not something that you kind of intellectualize and then you're good to go.
Yeah.
No.
Apply.
Now you have to remind yourself every single day, every single situation, you have to process. You don't know, you may not be able to act properly immediately, but then afterwards, if you kind of process what happened, and it counts, the lesson is learned.
That's fantastic. I hope today on second time, if somebody challenges, you'll say, what we're supposed to pass after the
Lord,
That's what you're saying, but it's the demeanor that they pick up on.
Yeah.
Continuously challenging, even saying something really super derogatory.
Yeah. You usually make them feel like...
And I say, you guys are definitely ugly.
You say that, they have a window for that.
I don't know, but see, the thing is, it's not me saying this.
Yeah.
You put yourself in a situation, Krishna gets things out of your mouth that you didn't
prepare
to say or ever said before or ever heard anybody say, and just, Krishna works through you. It's really a fact, and he'll help you. Krishna's so wonderful.
Yeah, this, what Hare Krishna does, it's not something you want to imitate. You have to be pure enough.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
Srila Prabhupada used to say, purity is the force. Purity is the force.
These guys are light years beyond me.
Yeah. I'm speaking, myself. Unless you're pure, or unless you're genuinely trying to be pure, there's absolutely no way you can cut a joke like that and be successful.
Come on, imitates all my jokes to the guests when they come in. I read so his instructions to sell it. And in Britain, you'll see it has a list of something list for Stella, so in the field of the, he's telling her all the jokes that I tell people what to say. You can say it, you can try it. But if you don't say it correctly, it's true, it lands the wrong way.
Yeah.
It could be a disaster.
Yeah, you have to use your intelligence. Because it's like a surgery. You cut through the layers of the person's falsehood. And once you're not joking because it's funny or you want to laugh. It's
right.
There, but it's a byproduct. The real purpose is to cut through. And if there is, you can cut hundreds of jokes, but if there is no follow up, if you don't follow up, it's something meaningful. Or just by your example, if you cut a joke and then walk away and watch this, no. But if you cut a joke and then say something meaningful, something spiritual, or give a book, or have them see you act in such a way that they raise questions, this is what you joke, what's the purpose of making all these jokes. So here Jagabhu gets provoked, challenged, and there are two ways of responding to a challenge, or chastisement, or an offense. What are those?
You can immediately respond back.
You either forgive,
you react, right?
Yes, or punish, chastise, fight back. So, Mahabharata, I think, Mahabharata, Prahlad Maharaj, is asked a question by his grandson, Bala Maharaj asks him, so what's worth of praise, punishment or forgiveness? What's your answer, Sisar Prabhu? What's better, punishment or forgiveness?
Forgiveness.
No.
Punishment.
No.
Mercy.
No, that's not the answer.
Is it both?
He said neither is, so neither applies to every single situation.
Right.
So we have our intelligence.
Right.
And if you forgive all the time, they will start taking advantage and just then rip you off but if you chastise all the time, you'll turn everybody else into your enemy and end up being miserable. So it takes balance and intelligence.
His eyes didn't even blink.
No.